Outdoors coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. When you listen to WFHB, sometimes you can't predict what you're going to hear next. Isn't that wonderful? Our volunteer DJs play music you won't find anywhere else on the radio. Our award-winning news and public affairs programs aren't heard on other stations, and we celebrate the delightful diversity and vibrant culture of South Central Indiana. But when you listen, remember that we need you. We always need donations from listeners to keep on going and growing. If you click the donate button on our website, wfhb.org, you'll find out how easy it is to become a sustaining member. If you can give us a small donation every month, automatically and securely, you'll help WFHB in the best way possible. And then when you hear our fund drive appeals, you'll feel really good. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. By golly, this is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill this morning, bright and shiny.
Oh, yeah. Don't be so happy.
Why? We got this a little rain this week, and that helped, and I got a ripe tomato to yesterday, and that helps. So everything's looking good.
Well, congratulations.
Be happy.
Don't worry.
Be happy. Hey, and I'm Rich Reardon, and you are listening to Inside Outdoors, and we are on WFHB, which we really appreciate being here, and we're coming to you via Zoom. And I wanted to tell everybody, just in case you didn't hear last time, that if you want to PM us through Inside Outdoors on Facebook, we would gladly let you into our Zoom. And if you wanted to have a question or talk with us for a little bit and you know how to do that, we're happy to have you on the show. So anyway,
you could see me picking my nose.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill's bald spot up there.
Yeah.
Bill,
well, that's worrying me because I got more fuzz up there right there than I had on my face. Or I had more on my face than I got up here when I was a kid. That's worrying me.
I heard some guy the other day say he asked the doctor if he could transplant the hair from his back onto his head.
What was the answer?
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Maybe they can do that. Who knows?
Okay.
It's a little bit different texture, however. You know,
yeah, it probably would be. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Well, anyway.
What would you do in that case when you wanted to scratch your back? Scratch your head?
Well, you should have an easier time scratching your back.
Yeah. Mm. If your back itches, where's it going to itch? On your head or?
Well, I hope not.
Well, if you transfer all that hair up there on your head, well, that's where it's going to itch.
I don't know how those, they got these hair solution guys out there now that they do a combination of those little round plugs
that,
from wherever they can get it. off your chest, off your back, yada, yada, yada.
Anywhere they can.
Yeah, right. And a weave, they combine a weave into it, maybe, you know?
Well, if the good Lord intended for me to have hair, he'd have kept it up there.
Yeah, well.
Evidently, he intended for me to be bald, and that's why, that's the direction we're going.
Well, as we can see, we're all three of us hair challenged.
Yeah, we're all in the
I'm
same
getting there. Am I?
Yes, yes, you are. Yes.
I try not to notice that.
My hair is turning out just like my maternal grandfather's hair. I have the same exact bald pattern.
Exact.
Yeah.
I see.
That's those Scottish jeans.
Right.
He's a Dunbar.
You wear a hat, Don?
Yes, I do.
Well, I do too, and they claim wearing a hat, you will get balder, you know, more apt to get bald.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Shuts the circulation off.
Well,
maybe that's the reason I don't think as much. I don't know.
Well, I think we all have brain challenge problems sometimes.
Yeah. I understand that.
Well, here we are. And by the way, I'm Don Jordan. And I got a call from our buddy John this week.
Oh, John, Uncle John over Spencer.
Yeah,
didn't talk to him too long, but he's still gardening. He's got his garden and his buckets outside his house there, and got one or two trays, you know.
Has he got any ripe tomatoes yet?
He said he had a cherry tomato.
A cherry tomato.
Right. I have an orange cherry tomato that's ripe, but I don't have any early girls ripe yet.
My early girls ain't. This is a boy wonder or a wonder boy or somebody like
that. Oh, yeah. You mentioned that you had planted one of those.
Yeah, that's what these are, or this one is.
Well, it's early, isn't it?
And yeah, it is. And early girls, they're not close. But these here, I got another one turning, and of course, they're just starting.
Well, I got plenty of green early girls, you know, typical early girls. They're not big. They're not small.
Well, yeah, they normally don't get too big, but they're good.
Yes, they are. They're very good.
Yes, they are.
Mm. I've got one plant, orange cherry tomato is dying of the blight already.
Oh, already?
Yeah, already.
My.
Yeah. Not good.
No, that's not good at all. So far, I don't have any blight that I'm aware of, but hopefully we don't get any.
On the other hand, my green beans are just going berserk. I mean...
Have you got beans yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you've already got some.
Yeah, I was going to pick some today. It's too hot to do it now, so... Maybe I'll do it this evening. I think we can get a mess out of them easily.
I'll have some here for long. Mine's not quite ready to pick yet.
Well, it's all that time. Man, this weather is hard on the garden. You know, it's...
not getting any rain either. That really hurts.
I've been watering regularly.
Well, we have to. That's the only way we keep it alive, I guess.
Yeah, that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah. You got plenty of zucchini?
No, I don't have any zucchini planted. I replanted some white radishes, and they're not doing well. They're going to tops.
All tops. You planted them in light moon.
A light moon, eh?
Yeah, that's what you done.
Okay. So I'm supposed to plant them in a heavy moon?
Yes, dark.
Dark moon. Dark moon.
Yeah, they all went to tops, no bottoms.
Well, I'll give it a try again.
Yeah, make sure the calendar says dark moon.
Okay, like new moon, you mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, I'll do that. What about you got a tomato company going there, Rich.
Pretty much, yeah. They in the last 2 weeks, they've doubled in size. They're about, I'd say... Well, a good maybe 2 feet tall, maybe a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So we're doing real good.
So are you selling those plants?
Some of them, but a lot of them are for us. And then they've been also planting a bunch of flowers and a whole bunch of other things. And so there's been a lot of work going on. We were glad to get the rain the other day. We also put in a new water system. I don't know if I told you that last time.
I don't remember that.
We
did, you're working on it.
Yeah, dug up all the way up. Got two different, I don't know what you call them, spigots, I guess, coming up out of the ground, which is nice now. So don't have to haul water like we did before.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So everything's moving forward and looks real good. We only lost one plant so far that we noticed from craziness.
That's great. Well, if mine all start dying on me, I may have to come down and buy a couple of plants from you.
We got them.
Yeah, I know you do. You have a big garden. Is that same place you had your garden before?
Yeah.
Right, down there where that barn is?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good size.
Well, we tilled a whole new one. And plus, I don't know if you guys, you don't plant enough of them, but we got one of these, what do they call it?
An auger?
An auger. Yeah, we bought an auger, and man, did that make things easy. You have one person just going boop, boop, and then the other person's throwing the plant in, and we got a whole bunch done real fast that way.
Is it one of those you put in an electric drill, or is it a regular?
It's regular. It wasn't too expensive either. It was a couple hundred, $250, something like that.
Gas or electric?
Gas.
Gas. Okay. Like a post hole digger.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that made things a lot easier.
I bet it did.
For everything.
Yeah, I bet it did. Well, I can tell you, in case that I know that everybody's burning question is, how's the fishing? Well, not good. Not good. It's the bluegills are biting, but it's just the little ones. And for the most part, any bigger fish are on the bottom. Or it's a little
They've been doing pretty good down at Patoka.
On crappie?
Uh-huh.
Well, they have crappies, they're more of they're more active in this hot weather.
But I wouldn't want them because the water's too hot.
Yes, they'll be real mushy, won't they?
Oh, they'll be mushy, yeah. I don't know how you could do that. Put them in ice water, maybe?
Right, I think so. Before you clean them.
Well, yeah.
Put them in the ice bucket.
Kind of get them cooled down a little. I don't know where that'd work or not.
Well, it'd make them easier to clean, that's for sure.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen some pictures on Lake Monroe Fishing Group there on Facebook of some channel cats, but I haven't seen any big cats. I'd say 3-4 pound channel cats.
Oh, them's just right eating size.
Not a bad size to eat. And
ooh, that's good.
There was some guy was saying that you could catch 1,000 little bluegills and little crappies down at the tailwaters.
I'd say that's probably right.
There's always a lot of them right there in the fast water, right where it comes down, So, and let's see, some guy, the heat got his worms, so he received advice to get himself a shovel and go dig some, because they didn't have any to give to him.
Yeah.
I don't imagine they're letting too much water out right now.
Well, lake level is 1 inch below regular pool at 537.
That's not too bad.
Lake temp is around 86 degrees right now.
That's the problem.
That's July 6th.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, you're going to have to go down to wherever that temperature thermocline is. If you have it there, it's probably down, I'd say, at least 12 feet now, wouldn't you?
I'd say you're right. 12, 15, maybe even 15. It kind of
went to from early spring to late summer. Bang.
Yeah.
It's here.
Sure did.
It definitely is here.
Yes, sir. And my birds are all but done nesting. A lot of them are on their second hatch. For the year, that'd be the house wrens and the purple finches, the house finches. There's a, oh, I got a crop of northern flickers this year.
Northern flickers, huh?
Right. I've never had baby northern flickers here before.
Hmm.
And they come to the suet feeder. So glad to see them.
And, seem to be several birds around, different birds.
Yeah, it's good. Although they're not, you know, they're not as active as they were, you know, when they first got here and were making nests. And, they're kind of hanging low in this hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything on my feeder. I'm looking at it here right out the window. There's no birds out there now.
It's
usually
too hot.
They're usually covered with birds, you know.
Unless it's in the shade, it's too hot.
Right, it is too hot. It is too hot. It's frying my ferns, the ones that aren't in the shade. They're getting browned. And
suntanned.
The deer have eaten all my hostas.
Did you try that Deer Be Gone?
I did not, but I have tried that before, and I can't remember how it turned out, but I'll get around to it. It's a little too late now to worry about it, I guess. Although the hostas will grow back.
Yeah, they will come back. They just won't bloom.
Right. I did get some blooms out of some before the deer totally destroyed them. Actually, this is one deer is the culprit here.
Uh-huh.
Well, you might want to think about having it
in
the summer.
It's this old doe that has been living in this neighborhood for quite some years and usually has at least two fawns per year. This year, she didn't have any, or at least we didn't see them. We don't know what happened. Right. We don't know. Maybe something happened to them, but she's certainly hanging around in my front yard. And jumped out in front of somebody's out here pushing a baby stroller down the street the other day. And the old mama deer jumped out in front of them, scared the hell out of them, I guess. She's a big doe, you know, she's pretty good size. And, probably a little tough.
I'd say that she'd be some tough eating, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'd say she would be.
Well, let's see. I guess, you know, I have to mention the elephant in the room here in Bloomington this week. And, boy, we've been on national television. We've been on, we're in every news magazine. We're on every internet news outlet. We've been in print just about everywhere.
Yeah.
We were on the BBC last night. So Bloomington is getting big play on the incident with Mr. Vox. What's his last name? Porter?
Booker.
Booker, that's it.
Yeah.
Mr. Booker and his encounter with some hostile folks down at Lake Monroe. Everybody, you're probably listening, you know about it.
Can't miss it.
No, you can't. You can't miss it.
Well, they even got video of it, so there's not much you can say when you have someone pointing a camera at you.
Yes, Whitcomb was on TV last night having just viewed, is that his name, the governor now?
No, that's Holcomb.
Holcomb. Not Whitcomb.
No, my God, you're 50 years behind time, son.
Well, it ends in the last four letters. You know, they're both, one's a Holcomb, one's a Whitcomb.
You got a point there.
I was close. Anyway, he said he watched the videos and was shocked. I was too, the first time I saw it. I was more than shocked. I got to say. That's something that just hasn't happened around here for quite some time.
We're pretty laid back town, really.
Well, the last thing that happened along these lines that I recall was the Denver Smith shooting. That would have been in what, the 80s?
Yeah.
That's who I was trying to think of the other day.
Right. And nothing really ever came out about that much. You know, I mean, exactly what happened, et cetera, et cetera. There was lots of people saying they thought what happened, but I can't remember anymore.
No, I can't either. I can't remember the story either.
But anyway, we have had some, and we have a deep past of the Klan here, and there's been a number of pictures posted on Facebook in that regard. A Klan funeral was held up at Chambersville Cemetery, which is on at 46 and 46 West and County Line Road, right? It was held up there in 1926. And
I don't remember.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I wasn't either.
I don't remember that.
They had their outfits on and everything, and it was the Chambersville Church was still standing there at the time.
All but darn.
So that's in the...
Was it on the same side as the graveyard?
Yes, I believe it was.
Was it on top of the hill there?
Yes, right. It's exactly where it was.
Because I don't remember it. I don't know how long it was there, but...
Well, it's been gone for some time, as I understand. The cemetery's there.
Yeah, the cemetery's still there. But I may have seen it and not even realized it, too.
That's true. You're not really looking for anything when you go up around that corner anymore. There's not much up there except the graves, you know, gravestones. Right. And any case, we do have that in our history here, and... I'm sorry to see it come to the fore again.
Do you know why the KKK was originally created?
The one in Indiana?
Yeah.
Or the one in Indiana? Well,
It pretty much started here, believe it or not.
Right. I read about it here just recently, but go ahead, fill us in.
Well, I found out a few years back when I was talking to a man who was on the state legislature, also wrote a book about the Civil War, and when my friend Eunan McIntyre was here from Ireland, and it turns out that the KKK was originally to deal with the Irish and not black people, which it just turned into a big old hate group eventually, but originally it was because they felt the Irish were coming over here and taking their jobs and that sort of thing because of the potato blight and that whole thing that happened back, you know, over 100 years ago. So anyway, I thought that was interesting because I didn't know it was, you know, other... I knew they kind of hated everybody that was not... you know, it's weird that you would hate somebody even though you're probably maybe part Irish when you really look at your DNA or whatever, but...
That's right. You're probably mostly Irish.
You know, especially the Europeans. So white doesn't necessarily mean... Yeah, it's such a gray area if I want to make a pun.
I have some Irish friends, and they're still resentful of that, and I don't blame them, I guess. You know, probably in their grandfather's time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the signs were up, no Irish need apply.
Right.
No Irish allowed, you know, kind of the same treatment black people got during the Jim Crow era,
right,
and before, and apparently are still getting to some extent. And that's what I guess it's been sweeping across the country lately. It's like coronavirus.
Well, it's never really not been here. It's sort of doesn't really change much, and the important thing is that everybody gets treated equally under the law, which is really another problem too, because that's where a lot of these problems are happening. I don't know whether it's necessarily more now, but now we've got phones and, you know, ways of taping things, and I think you just see more of it, and it's just publicized more, and of course it's all over social media. But certainly it was terrible what this guy went through.
We better explain, because we do have people who listen in
other places. Yeah,
other places that are probably wondering what the heck are they talking about. I'll do the honors, or you can.
Sure, you go ahead.
Okay. So this black fellow from who lives here in Bloomington, named Vox Booker, was going down to see the eclipse of the lunar eclipse that was last Saturday night. And it was still daylight when they walked down through this trail, or it looks like a old road maybe. They walked down and were confronted by a group of, Mr. Booker was with some friends from Bloomington. And these people, but especially Mr. Booker, were confronted by a group of what you can only say were very hateful men who...
Plus being inebriated.
Who were, yes, inebriated and racist. They didn't hesitate to use racist terminology, and they were also pretty nasty to the people who were with Mr. Booker, who they said were his white friends. Maybe the one of his friends that did show up in the videos was indeed a white man, and was trying to get them to let the Mr. Booker go. They had grabbed him and pinned him up against a tree. He's all bent over. You can see it in the video there. And according to Mr. Booker, he said that one of them said, "Get a noose." That's an N-O-O-S-E. And another one had said, or the same one, I don't know who it was, had said, "We're going to break your arms." They had his arms held behind him. And he did not get his arms broken. He said he did have some hair pulled out in this confrontation. And it lasted a good little while. I mean, longer than I could hardly stand watching. And they did let him go, and he escaped with the, like I said, minor injuries, and scared, as you might imagine. And
a concussion.
Yeah. I didn't know he had a concussion.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised.
Right.
And they pulled his hair out. So. These people that he was with went back up to the parking lot. They called the Department of Natural Resources, who sent two conservation officers to the scene, who then did not address Mr. Booker, but went down to the gentleman who had made this attack and interviewed them. That was all we know about it. That's all we know about it at this point. They were not arrested. They did not arrest the guys. I personally called the Indiana State Police, and they didn't want anything to do with it. So we're still waiting to hear the results of their what they called an investigation. And it's now Thursday. I don't suppose that's too long, but since we knew who they all were, they knew their names. Guy ran several of them worked for a masonry company up in
Indianapolis, I believe.
No, it's north of Indianapolis. Oh. North, out west of Lebanon there. I can't think of the name of the town now, but Pittsburgh's out in there. Liston is where the guy was from.
Oh, okay.
Two of them were from there. But there were five people involved. We know that. But other than that, the DNR said the prosecutor told them there wasn't any need to arrest. There were no arrests needed to be made that night. Apparently, told these conservation officers that. And then the prosecuting attorney here in the county said, I'm not going to do anything until I've seen the results of their investigation. So we have an investigation waiting for a report, and we have a prosecutor waiting for an investigation before he's going to issue warrants to arrest these gentlemen. So, and there has been a pretty much a week long protest going on down at the courthouse square. It was big time on Sunday. That's the place that made the world news right here in Bloomington. Gee, what a, not a good thing to be known for. And during that protest, a person who we now know his name was,
Christy Bennett.
Christy Bennett, yeah, I actually posted something about it, was arrested in Scottsburg, Indiana, this morning. And this is the woman who drove this car through the part of the crowd of people who were gathered for this protest.
Right.
And there was one woman in the, who jumped onto the hood of her car and was later thrown off, who was injured. She had a scalp wound, a concussion, and some other scrapes and bruises. And I'm not sure exactly what she was trying to do. She said she was trying to stop her from running through the crowd. It's hard to tell what their motives were.
Yeah.
And we really don't know. Anyway, this the Bloomington police were in evidence there. They were all over the place, and they didn't manage to stop this woman or chase her down. She drove on the end of the campus at IU, down 6th Street there, and I guess nobody saw her. Or, she just disappeared into thin air until they found her down in Scottsburg, Indiana, this morning. And she's now out on $500 bail. And the charges pending against her may be, at least this is what the Indianapolis Star said, reckless driving and leaving the scene of accident. And that's where it all stands. We're kind of waiting to see what happens here. As you know, you kind of hold your breath when you see what's been going on, you know, all the, with all the police problems with black people. They haven't, it isn't the black people that have been the problem, apparently. And there's been protests all over the country and in other countries.
Well, there was also another incident the week before during this whole holiday thing with the DNR and another where they detained a black guy who wasn't really doing anything. So there's some issues that, that the Black Lives Matter people are taken with everything, and you know, generally there's other issues and things that have happened with the police in the town proper. Although I think overall, I feel like Bloomington is probably a little bit more the police and things are better than you might find in some of these big cities and stuff, because I've never seen too much of a problem with them. Of course, I'm white, so.
Yeah, there you go. There was I don't know whether this is when you're, you know, you said there was another incident the week before.
Yeah.
Just a few days before, a Lawrence County deputy sheriff pulled over and stopped a black woman walking down Washington Street,
right,
and told she was looking suspicious. Is this one you're talking about?
No, that was with the Bloomington police, or he was a sheriff, I think. But
he was the Lawrence County sheriff.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was he doing up here arresting our citizens?
Right.
And
or even detaining them. It's just this, you know, they call it walking while black.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And, you know, it ain't right. And I just hope that our law enforcement people here come out of this looking right, you know, and being right.
Yeah.
I can't hope for anything else. I don't know how much faith to have right now because of all the things that have happened in other places around the country where everybody thought their police force was good, or a lot of them did anyway. And that's because we're white, obviously. So it's an ongoing chapter in our local history here. To you, those of you who are listening in other towns, you may have had something happen like this in your town. And we now understand how you feel. And I don't know how to feel. I was a black person. I'd probably be pretty scared.
Yeah, I have some black friends, and they are, and they gotta be careful how you do everything you do, you know.
That's right.
You can just go to the store and end up in big trouble. So that's terrible. I think that, you know, without trying to get into who did what or who we think did what, we just want to say, like we always have, that we hope everyone's treated with equal and, you know, under the law. If you're a law-abiding citizen, that should be about the very end of it, you know?
Well, there's obviously some law-breaking happened here.
Yeah,
It's, you know, it's right there on video. So we want to see some justice, I believe.
Well, and I hear the FBI is involved with this whole thing now because they're calling it a hate crime, which brings them into it and also makes it a much more serious situation than a fight or something would.
Well, it certainly does. And there's big penalties for hate crimes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like where, 30 years in jail in a federal penitentiary.
Yeah, Terre Haute.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun, huh?
And that wouldn't be good.
Well, that's our big news in Bloomington, and not good news.
Well, and Bill has a little news. You had the fire trucks and everybody going by you just a minute ago. There might be something going on down at Lake Monroe, right?
Yeah, not for sure what it is. It might. I don't know where the fire truck went or not.
Was there paramedics and stuff?
The ambulance and stuff. Yeah. Went down to the ramp, so
somebody must have been hurt.
Pull your own judgment on that. I haven't seen him come back yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, there's been a number of drownings around the state in the last couple of weeks.
Guy yesterday up at, what was it, Geis?
Eagle Creek,
and his paddle boat.
Right.
No life jacket.
Couldn't swim. And, beats me.
They had, just a little while ago, they had footage of the police out there dragging the lake looking for him. They know about where, I guess, his boat went down, but
still ain't found him.
They hadn't hooked on to him yet. So,
well, that's too bad.
Be careful out there. And there was a girl hit by a boat prop at Lake Monroe within the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I just got a little brief. I saw a little bit about it on Facebook. It was on Lake Monroe fishing page, I think.
Hmm.
So, and there was also something happened at Patoka along these lines in the past week and a half or so. You know, the more people get out on the water, the more of these we have.
And there's a lot more out on the water now on account of this virus.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, a lot of people's not working. And like I've said before, there's been more boats pass here, well, this spring than they have in the last 7, 10.
Well, that's what I think you mentioned that before, Bill. And that's what I've seen when I've driven down to the lake. There's been, guys, I know the boat ramps are packed.
Well, when a couple of weeks ago, they shut them down.
Yes, they did.
Because there was so many people there, they had nowhere to park.
Right.
That's never. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Well, I can't recall it ever happening. It never happened during the heyday. You remember the first big bass tournament they had down there, where they had 472 boats, as I recall. they didn't shut any parking lots down that day.
I know.
So, and of course, that was at Fairfax. Maybe their parking lot's bigger. I don't know. What they didn't say what parking lot, or was it all the parking lots that they shut down?
They said parking lots. The boat ramps closed, so I don't know.
Probably all of them.
I presume it was all of them.
Right. Must have been. Well, there you go. And
yeah, it's been well used this year.
Yeah, I don't expect there's been that much traffic down there ever, consistently, like it has been this year.
No, it's a different year. unusual.
Well, I was going to go over to Yellowwood and check it out over there, and I called them up, and they said their boat ramp was closed. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they're clear cutting the boat ramp.
Could be.
It could be. They do a lot of that over there.
Well, they were still turning away people at Paintown, I believe, when they said the lake was full. I never heard that before.
When they closed the ramp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paintown has been full before.
Yeah.
I mean, campground wise. But I don't know how typical it is anymore. Well, big holiday, 4th of July, you know, that's probably to be expected.
Well, apparently the campgrounds are all open. Is Paintown's fully open with the COVID situation and everything?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's open, but I don't know at what percentage.
No, I don't either. I know the commercial place down there at Boggs Creek is open,
mm-hmm.
full blast. And I heard that the State Forest campgrounds were open.
Yeah.
So that would mean around here, that'd be Morgan Monroe, Yellowwood, Green Sullivan.
Yeah.
Got three of them pretty close.
Yeah, I think mostly everything's pretty much open. They sometimes close the visitor center or whatever, so you can't, but a lot of them, we don't even have those, but I'm just talking in general around the country.
Well, they're probably closed the, I would think the restroom facilities, the showers and whatnot.
Yeah.
The last I heard anyway, those were all closed. And, I believe the, federal campground down at, Salina, Lake Salina, Crawford County down in there. I believe it's open. At least one of the loops is open. So there is some camping activity possible.
Yeah.
All the private ones are open.
Right.
That would include the one at Knobbone. You know, it looked like they were pretty much full the last time I drove to Columbus.
Well, on another level, I noticed this on the Friends of Lake Monroe website and Facebook page. They have a volunteer call out. They're doing a Lake Monroe watershed sampling blitz in September, on September 18th, 2020. So coming up, you can, if you're interested in being a volunteer, Friends of Lake Monroe and the IU, I don't know how to pronounce this, Limnology Lab?
Limnology
will let you be a citizen scientist because they want to collect water samples from stream sites all around Lake Monroe watershed. And if you want to do that, you can register online. Go to Friends of Lake Monroe. They've got an article about it. Real easy to just click there. And then you pick up sampling equipment from designated staging locations in Monroe, Brown, and Jackson counties, and then they'll kind of assign you to a sample location, and then you'll go and take water samples, which will help everyone involved to have lab analysis of the state of our watershed, which I think is really important. It sounds like a great thing to do, and a good thing to do, and kind of help things out and still have a good day out on the lake, or at least hiking around in various places. So again, that's September 18th.
Yeah, that'd be a worthwhile thing to do. You know, last year they put out those fish structures, which was a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And those fish structures, the ones I know of, are around the Saddle Creek out of Cut Right. You know, you go out of Cut Right, turn right, and they're obvious on your locator, on your sonar unit. You can see them quite easily. And they're in they're in several different depths of water. So this time of year, especially, you know, you might want to search those out. They put out a couple hundred of them.
Right.
So they're out there. And I know there's fish on them because last time I was down there fishing, I saw fish on them. Didn't know what kind of fish they were, but probably crappie and catfish, be my guess.
Well, and we made it through July 4th, so, you know, there was a lot of fishing going on beyond the problems we had. There was a lot of people out on the lake this last weekend.
There was a lot of fishing going on. My buddies who own ponds say that their pet bluegills that they feed are not biting very well. So, the bluegills are probably not great fishing right now. If you could find them, they're going to be on the bottom. Lake Griffey might be a good place to check. There is some fishing activity going on there.
We haven't heard much about that.
No, we haven't. That's because none of us fish it anymore, I guess. I haven't been over there in a long time. That's where one of our incidents with a black person took place, was it? At Lake Griffey. Mm-hmm. They said the suicide, the black guy that committed the worst case of suicide there in Utah, found in Lake Griffey.
When did that happen?
It was been some time ago. Do you know, Rich, when it was?
No, I don't. I remember it, but it was a while back.
I don't even remember.
It was just on TV last night again. They were talking to the guy's dad and his sister, and they had some questions about him committing suicide by jumping into 3 feet of water at Lake Griffey. Now, it's possible. Who knows? But anyway, that was the other thing that came up about Griffey lately, other than fishing. So I'm going to go try it. I think it's worthwhile. You're not going to catch anything good except channel cats at Lake Monroe right now. I think the wipers have even quit. But it's a heck of a cat fishing hole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they restocked it, so they ought to be getting up pretty good size by now.
Yeah, the bluegills at Griffey you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they ought to be pretty decent. It's been a little while since they renovated that, but if they haven't been wiped out, there should be some pretty nice bluegills in there. It's a pay lake, by the way. You have to pay, I think it used to be $3, it may be $5 now to launch your boat to fish there. Used to be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Might still be.
They still rent boats?
Yeah. They got canoes and a rowboat or two, maybe. So, yeah, you can rent. They got a little concession hut right there where you pay. And you can park right where that concession hut is. Yeah, good old Lake Griffey.
I never did take a boat out there.
Well, I used to fish it a lot. And I always took my Ginu, it's got an electric motor on it, so I could pretty much do the entire lake. I would fish those in the spring, take the fly rod and fish all up one side, down around the other, And you could always catch a lot of bluegills on a fly rod at that time of year at Lake Griffey.
Yeah.
Lake Griffey, where else we got to go fishing? Well, we got Yellowwood Lake, but haven't heard anything about Yellowwood Lake for a long time. Have you, Bill?
No, not since Roger Russ died and quit fishing. I haven't heard much about it because that was one of his favorite places, and I got a report from him about every week. But since he's passed, I don't know much about it. Don't hear anything.
Well, about 10 years ago, the Forest Service took some big dredges in there and dredged out a great big trench, just a big trench on the upper end of the lake, where it was silting up in there. Mm-hmm. Well, instead of clearing it out the places where the bluegills spawn, they just made this big deep trench and pushed all the trees from the work they were doing on the side into it. So there ought to be some structure there now, but I haven't heard anybody fishing it.
Well, I looked on the TripAdvisor site, and they had some pretty good reviews. Most people were saying they rented a rowboat or something and caught some bass and stuff. So there's some still stuff happening over there, and the hike is a little bit better now that things have grown back in and stuff. But it was pretty much a mess, and there was a lot of silt in that lake. So hopefully.
Yes, the upper end was really bad. That's at one time that was awesome bluegill nesting area, but it wasn't last time I was there.
Yeah.
So there's still bluegill in there though, and if you fish away from there and try to fish the little shallow spots that you find along the edges of the bank, which is usually deep water going towards the dam, deeper water.
Right.
That there are some nesting areas along there, and you can pick up some bass. You know, you might catch a 15 incher, but more likely about a 13 incher. But they're in there, and you can have some action. And in those kind of lakes, according to the biologists, 90% of the fish are associated towards the bank, meaning they're looking right at the bank. They're waiting for something to fall, food to fall in. And so that's what you do. You fish, you go around and fish the bank on these lakes, those kinds of lakes. There may be some deeper water fish available. If there's crappie in there, I don't remember ever catching a crappie in there before. But there are definitely bluegill and bass and some catfish. So.
Well, I know Roger, he's mostly bass.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's every week or every time he went, he caught something.
Yeah, I'd say that's possible there, probably still. And there was also good fishing in the creek below the dam. Actually, there's some pretty decent sunfish down there. I have a friend that used to fish that exclusively. So if you don't have a boat, that might be a good spot to try.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. I know I used to try when back in the olden days, where Bean Blossom Creek crosses 37 North town, down there, that little dam, and there's deep hole there. There used to be a fish or two in there. Of course, later I found out that it was downstream from the Bean Blossom landfill.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't eat very many of those. But anyway, that's probably still a good place to fish. I think Bean Blossom Creek in general probably is. That comes out of good old Lake Lemon.
Well, hey, we're running short of time, and I had another thing I wanted to bring up real quick.
Yes, sir.
From the outdoors, which is really interesting. And scientists were using their Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, which is called NEOWISE, space telescope. And they found a comet hurtling towards the sun, and this was in March, and informally they dubbed it the NEOWISE comet. And but apparently they weren't sure whether it was going to be something we could see or not see. They just didn't know. Apparently this comet hasn't been around in a long time, but it's now visible by the naked eye. You can see it early in the morning. Like if you got up at 4 o'clock or so, you'd be able to see it in the northwest, and it's going to get higher and higher to the point where you're going to be able to see it later in the morning. And it's right below the Big Dipper. It'd be a good way for you to find it. If you know where the Big Dipper is, you'd be able to see it.
Yeah, that'd be easy.
And it's supposed to get higher and higher and reach its peak. It starts around, where you can see it now, but it should get a lot better by the mid to late July. I believe it's going to start around the 15th and kind of get higher and higher in the sky until it gets pretty amazing. And it's supposed to be, you know, possibly one of the most greatest celestial light shows that we'll ever see in our lifetime because of how close it is and how big it is. And certainly not a danger to us, but it's going to be quite a light show. So if you want to get up early in the morning and check that out, it's a good thing to do.
No problem. I'm up early anyway. I bet Bill is too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll probably be able to see it good from your place, Bill. You don't have a lot of trees real close to you.
Pretty open, you know, for that it'd be open.
So anyway, northwest, if you know where the northwest is, that's and if you can't find that, then look for the Big Dipper.
Yeah, that's right. I got a little hole in the trees around here that goes, the Big Dipper sits right in the middle of that.
Oh, good.
So I'd be able to see it.
Well, it won't be back for 6,800 years, so we better check it out now.
I don't believe I'll catch that next go-round.
Well, guys, we're just about used up enough time. We got about 2 or 3 more minutes. Anything else going on we want to talk about?
Oh, there's a couple things. Let's see. The courts have put the kibosh on Roundup again.
I saw so that, yeah.
It's been disapproved. And, federal judge out west, nixed putting the grizzly bears on the hunting list, put him on the delisted list. So the grizzly bears are safe again for a little while.
And that's in Yellowstone or just in general?
That's in general. They were going to delist the grizzly bear, right? Meaning take it off the endangered species list. But they're not going to do it now, at least for now.
Good.
We'll see how that, these things just never end. They just go on and on. So that's two fairly big pieces. Oh, and the Keystone Pipeline got swatted back again.
Yeah.
Indian tribes brought the lawsuits against them this time, and they won the first go around. We'll see when it gets to on down the road. It goes, I probably end up in the Supreme Court again. Okay.
One more thing on Yellowstone. I noticed there was a bunch of earthquakes happened recently, like 100 of them.
Yes, that's common.
There's always a lot of them, but they were saying it was some of them were up to 0.6 on the Richter scale. So
that was
a little unusual.
Just outside the park.
Yeah.
But there was a 2.8 in the park again. And, if you're around there, you feel them about every day if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
The thing around here you might think was somebody blowing a dynamite on the road up here or something, or working on the road, or a big boom
right
from crane. That's an earthquake out there.
Right. All right. Well, that's about it for today. Been fun seeing you guys.
Okay. You too.
Well, everybody have a good week, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
See you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.